This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good afternoon and welcome to 2026 on 3CR 8:55 AM. My name is Rafael Caleb, better known as Raf, and I am your host tonight on The Boldness. And The Boldness is about lived experience of disability and talking all issues related to disability. And it's the 21st of January. Now, we've had quite a swerving start to the year, being very, 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 very hot. So I would like to welcome as our guest for today, we are talking with Farah Cha, who's the Director of Campaigns at Sweltering Cities. Welcome to The Boldness, Farah. How are you doing out there?
Hi, Raf. Thank you so much for having me. I am slightly sweaty, but otherwise doing well. Based over here in Sydney, slightly warm day. How about you?
It's a very, very topical time of the year for this. We've had the start of the new year, 2026. I think there's been about 3 or 4 days so far of over 40 degrees in Melbourne. What's it like being up in Sydney?
Absolutely. It's been shocking in Melbourne, Raf. In Sydney, slightly less so over the past week, though we have absolutely had a simultaneous heat wave. And it's a wave that's been moving from coast to coast over that past week. So consistent days over the 35 degree point here as well.
Absolute nightmares. Let's start with the really, really easy things to get into the flow of this. Now, what is Sweltering Cities, the organisation? What does it do?
Sweltering Cities is a national NGO. We are a health promotion NGO, and we work at the intersection of climate change, inequality, and public health. We work directly with communities most impacted by extreme heat, and we advocate for more livable, equitable, and resilient spaces, towns, cities, nationally.
That means people with a disability really should know about Sweltering Cities, because basically people with disabilities get very, very badly affected by the heat. Now I'm going to read out this amazing quote that I came across. It says, "Heat waves are Australia's deadliest natural hazard, and hazard studies show that nearly 90% of heat wave deaths in Australia are made up of people with disability. As our cities, homes and suburbs get hotter, more communities are at risk every summer. It's time for the government to act." What happens during heat waves, Farah?
Heat waves are pretty dangerous for everyone nationally, but the risks rise depending on, you know, whether there is an existing condition, whether there is a disability, whether someone might be pregnant, whether someone is over a particular, you know, over 65 or is a child. But unfortunately, by far, it is most dangerous for people with disability. As you said, about 90% of heatwave mortality death rates are made up of people with disability. And effectively, like, this happens for a number of reasons. This happens because, as we hear from people in the community every day across the summer and across the year, it can be extremely difficult to temperature regulate, thermal regulate, depending on your chronic illness or disability. We hear from people who the heat and the humidity makes them breathless, fatigued. It is a real distressing sensory experience. It exacerbates, you know, mental health impacts. It's something that, you know, people describe to us as debilitating, feeling despair, dreading the heat, dreading the summer. There are people who we hear from, you know, somebody, for example, somebody in regional Victoria with a neurological disability describing, you know, having to essentially get in their car and drive around for hours on end in order to manage the heat, for example, because it is such a sensory issue for them. But yeah, it really runs the gamut, and it's such a, it can be really, really distressing and sometimes fatal.
It certainly can. And like some of the people who do with a disability, some of the conditions that are extremely badly affected by temperature changes are people with MS specifically. It's either extreme cold, and when it's too hot, it has a huge effect on people managing MS. People that are using a mobility aid, such as a wheelchair, if people are living in public housing or housing anywhere, having access to an air conditioner. A lot of homes don't have air conditioners. If people are living in buildings that are multi-story, heat rises. It gets very hot the further up that a person actually does go. These are huge problems in the community. Now, making this into this nice little gentle discussion that we have on the baldness. Now, Farah, what are your particular thoughts? Like, what is the expert health advice during heat waves?
We're not necessarily in a position to offer health advice, though the Department of Health and the Bureau of Meteorology certainly do. In a heat wave, you know, the best advice is to stay safe and follow health advice. Access to cool, safe spaces is critical, particularly for people with chronic conditions and disability. As you beautifully put, this can be impossible for some people, depending on their housing. You know, we hear all the time from people who have, you know, no aircon or no way to physically cool down their home, or there might be really poor insulation and no way to do anything about it, particularly renters who can often live in pretty challenging conditions.
Yeah, sure. And there was the expert health advice on how to stay safe during it. Heat wave is very clear. It's stay cool, stay hydrated, and avoid unnecessary travel.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's spot on.
Yeah, and kind of like, then we're looking at it kind of like the government has this decision to reintroduce compulsory activities during the peak of summer heat for people with disability. Now, this is almost forcing some of the most vulnerable people in the community, such as people with a disability, to choose between following medical advice, which is to stay cool, stay hydrated, and avoid unnecessary travel, or to risk having their income cut. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we have many thoughts on that. Just for your information, this issue came to us actually from a social worker who reached out to us because they were really concerned that people they were working with who on some kind of income support, whether that's job seeker, whether that's disability support payment or something else, having to do compulsory activities, sometimes it's called mutual obligations, in order to ensure that they can still access their income and are not, you know, subject to penalties or having their income cut. Between October last year and January this year, there was a pause on those compulsory activities. And that pause was actually reinstated the week of the most severe heatwave ratings since the 2019-2020 Black Summer. Really, really dangerous conditions. And of course, just, you know, just for your listeners, just to make sure that, you know, we're all speaking about the same thing. Compulsory activities can mean anything from, you know, having to attend a training or work for the dole or attend an appointment, you know, at a job service local to them, in potentially really, really dangerous heat. It's a particularly reckless thing to happen. These obligations or activities can be, really arbitrary sometimes. They can certainly be delayed or rescheduled or paused. So in Victoria at the moment, there is a pause on obligations due to the bushfires over there. If we can do that for bushfires, we can certainly do that for extreme heat.
We certainly can. Now it's time for us to play some community service announcements. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM on Wednesday, the 21st of January. We are talking with Farah Cha, the Director of Campaigns at Sweltering City. Now, we've just been discussing mutual obligations, which the government does have in Victoria, the Victorian government does have the ability to actually pause these obligations. And I would like to tend to think that with the amount of bushfires that have been in Victoria, particularly over the past couple of weeks, it tends to indicate that we've actually had these extreme temperatures. Now, one of the problems of this, that how would this actually work in practice, Farah, that does a person who's unable to meet their mutual obligations because of the heat, because it's too dangerous to go outside, what actually happens? Is it a faceless bureaucrat somewhere that sort of like sends out millions and millions of emails suspending people's payments because they're actually trying to stay safe? Is that on how it actually works?
Absolutely, it can look like that. So often, unfortunately, in this situation, people are having to advocate for themselves, where they know that they are having to choose between their health and meeting these conditions, either advocating for themselves or putting their health at risk in order to meet these obligations. We know that the department at the moment is, sending advice to job agencies that is based on media reporting on heatwaves. This media reporting is often retrospective, unfortunately, which is a bit of a problem.
I'm going to cut in here. Then I'm going to call this could be the next heat-generated debt instead of robo-debt, which the government was directly responsible at a federal level, and the deaths of people with disability, it was actually a calculated plot. That's what it was.
Robo-debt was a shocking blight. Absolutely. And I can see the similarities. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, heat-generated debt. And the worst part about it is the Bureau of Meteorology, well, they've actually done an upgrade on their website, and it's apparently not as accurate as what it should be for actually forecasting what the temperatures are. And the government is actually relying on other outlets to provide information which it actually needs. That's bizarre.
Bizarre, irresponsible, reckless. All of those words are really, really good. Yeah, look, I mean, at the moment, things like the climate, I mean, 2025 was the hottest year on record globally. That was following two other years of the hottest years on record again globally. We're on a heating trajectory, and we have this, and this is relegated to the Minister for Climate. And at the same time, there are impacts across the portfolios, whether that's Department of Employment and Workplace Relations, which is responsible for this issue, whether it's energy, whether it's health. I mean, for some reason, there is a failure to act when we know the risks.
It really is unusual the way the government actually can treat people with a disability, especially when it comes down to access and inclusion, and making sure there was at least a way that people would actually stay safe because of the adverse way that heat really can affect people with a disability. Like some of the conditions that actually readily spring to mind that a person can get are things like the heat wave heat stroke as well. I mean, we're talking about this is not exactly I've cut my finger and usually that probably a Band-Aid. It's various things. These are issues that actually require medical advice and they actually require assistance. I'm really very much in shock trying to get my head around how the government can actually claim that it's actually responsible to send people to fulfill compulsory activities for their income when they're already below the poverty line already to make their lives more difficult and then actually say we have a caring community that's about access and inclusion. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it absolutely doesn't make sense to me either. Just to back in what you're saying, Raf, we know that, for example, one of our contacts in Perth was, you know, coming back from a job agency appointment and had unfortunately suffered heat stroke on the way back and passed out. We know that people are paying it with their health for days by putting their health on the back burner, sometimes at best and at worst. Like I said earlier, this can be fatal in the case of heat stroke, as you said. And look, this is a really deeply fixable thing, Raf. Like, I think what we're talking about is like there's already strategies and mechanisms in place that the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations can deploy. They can pause or cancel obligations. They do it all the time. They understand, as I said, the heat risks for people with disability and are specifically doing as little as possible or not acting at all to protect people from the effects of extreme heat and heat waves. As I said, you know, it's getting hotter and hotter year on year. We're on a rising trajectory. And so this is really urgent.
Yeah, but also we are close to fast running out of time that across Australia in particular, and this is, we are actually in Australia, different states, they all seem to have different standards and requirements of what actually is extreme heat.
Mm.
And again, if people are in rural Australia, such as the Boldness Tinted interview, Kim, who went back to Broome for International Day of Disability, it's actually something like extreme heat there is 37 degrees, and that's only when the regulation's cutting. It's something along those lines. It's not the 35 degrees. It's actually significantly higher, putting people with a disability more at risk.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a good point. Look, we would sort of urge people to refer to the Bureau the Bureau of Meteorology, who issue a heat wave classification, severe or extreme, based on their projections. But you're absolutely right. And there can be, unfortunately, there's a bit of a culture in some places and across Australia about where heat is normalized. Heat is, in some cases, another day at the beach. So many times we see heat wave coverage. We saw over the past week, you know, coverage from national outlets like, you know, the ABC and the SBS through to more regional outlets, putting pictures of people in bikinis having a great time while at the same time reporting on really dire, invisible natural hazards that are affecting everyone coast to coast and putting people in real risk.
Yep, and that opens up that other part too, is that there is an organisation called Accessible Beaches, and the truth is most beaches are not accessible. There is more beaches that are accessible so that people, if they use, can actually access them, and the accessibility is usually for people who are using mobility aids such as wheelchairs, pushers and the strollers, so they may be able to go into the water to enjoy something, to potentially cool off in the water. But we are fast running out of time. So a bit of a call out to Accessible Beaches. If people do want to go to the beach at some point to try to stay a little bit cooler, look up accessible beaches, and there is a big list of which beaches are accessible. And finally, Farah, what is the best way for people to contact Sweltering City, such as the website?
Yeah, please head to swelteringcities.org if you'd like to get in touch with us. We're also collecting evidence through our National Summer Survey. It is the biggest community survey on heat. Please feel free to check that out online and make sure to tell your story there. We're building an undeniable story of heat impacts and shifting the way that people think and talk about it and getting some good policy action, hopefully as a result. That's our work anyway. So please get in touch via the website if you like. We're also on socials.
Well, Lizette, thank you very much for your time. The Boldness has been talking with Farah Chah, the Director of Campaigns from Sweltering City. Thank you very much for your time, Farah.
Thanks, Raph. Thanks for having me.
It's been great to have you on The Boldness on the 21st of January to start off the year on a very pertinent topic with the big heat wave that we've actually been experiencing absolutely everywhere. Keep listening to 3CR 855 AM. The Boldness will be back on the 21st of February talking about the National Assistance Card. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Let's go out with a song. I Am Here by Minky Lush. Thank you for joining us tonight. Keep listening to 3CR.